And the Night of Seder, Rav Volpe tells us, we must inculcate within ourselves the ideas mentioned in Haggadah to the point that we feel as if we ourselves were redeemed from Mitzrayim. And that's why we have the questions back and forth, because questions awaken interest, awaken participation. A question reveals the person's inner feelings, continues Rav Volpe. The aim of the Seder is to arouse our interest and discussion to the point that we're prompted to question the proceedings and inspired to identify with the redemption. Reciting numerous interpretations or expanding on the inferences of the unique wording of the Haggadah will not bring a person to this realization as much as close attention to the deeper meaning behind the overall process of redemption from Egypt. A person who follows the story attentively from start to finish will be aroused to feel that Hashem acted on my behalf when I left Mitzrayim. And that's really our goal in learning about Pesach, in learning about the Seder, to feel that Hashem has acted for me. The Shkacha Pratis, the Amuna, the Halal, the Hodaya, which is the core, which are the core elements of Seder night. As always, we've been doing for the last decade or so, the two Shirim before Pesach. The first one is a general Pesach theme, and the second, Mirat Hashem, next week, will focus in on one part of the Haggadah itself. This year, for the broader Pesach theme, Beautiful Birth, I'd like to learn a medrash, a famous medrash. I'd like to learn it on three levels. Let's take a look at the medrash. It's in source number 2. Itav medrash Shochar Tov Tehillim Kuf Yudalet. On the pasuk in Dvarim Perek Dalet, O Hanisa Elokim Lavo Lakachet Lo Goy Mikerev Goy. We describe leaving Egypt as Goy Mikerev Goy, one nation from another nation. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Acha B'Shem Rabbi Chanin, Mahu Goy Bekerev Goy, Ke Adam Sheshomet Et Haubar Mimei Habeima. Like one who takes an animal, draws an animal from another animal, that's how the imagery, Hashem drew us one nation within another nation. The night of Pesach is a night of birth. It's a night of literally being drawn out, being born from being found in the host mother to becoming a nation on ourselves. The night of Pesach is a night of birth. And as the Siftei Chaim points out, Im nayein b'chozek seichel bakara nimsa, if we pay attention, we'll realize shehanei shel etzem hayitzia v'leidat Am Yisrael, the whole Exodus and really the birth of Am Yisrael on this night, ayidei ze b'ofen bilti tiv'i l'chalutin, and as we'll see, not natural by any means, this is part of the foundations of Amuna, the birth of Klal Yisrael, lo pachot minisei hamakot v'kriyas yamsuf, no less than the miracles of the makos, of the plagues, no less than the miracles of kriyas yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. What we're going to try to learn in Mirat Hashem today is to try to understand what was this power, to try to explore what does this mean that Klal Yisrael were born on the night of Pesach. Again, we'll look at it on three levels. Level 1, Kivyochol, from the perspective of the Ribono Shel Olam, Mashcheini, as the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, and then our response, Acharecha Narutza, the impact of this birth on us on two levels, the intellectual level and the emotional level. On all three levels, we'll also look at what is the Isser Chametz? Why is it so stringent that we're not allowed to have any leavened bread? And the concept of matzah and what to be thinking about when eating matzah. Mirat Hashem will see some very, very, very powerful ideas. So let's begin on level number 1 from the perspective of the Ribono Shel Olam, what it was like to give birth to Am Yisrael. So let's learn this from the writings of Siftei Chaim, Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, where he says, continuing in Surah 3 in the bracket, Am Yisrael b'Mitzrayim lo haya am bal zahut atzmi. We didn't have our own national identity. We were muvla b'toch Mitzrayim kubar b'meimo. We were completely subsumed within the Egyptian culture. It was a shibud hanafshi. It was a spiritual. We were completely spiritually subsumed among them. Makor chayuto shalam Yisrael haya b'tarbut Mitzrayim v'tumata. Our life force came from the Egyptian culture and its impurity. We were in the 49th level of Tuma. Im Kain ematai hayu Yisrael la'am. When did we actually become a nation? When was, so to speak, the moment of birth? To, you know, put on the time on the birth certificate. It's kish b'sha'ah shamdu al safa yitziyah m'mitzrayim v'karish baruch hu tzivah la'am mitzvos. The moment that we got mitzvos, at that moment, we became a nation. And he explained that although in Source 4, the first mitzvah that we received was the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, of sanctification of the new moon, that really was the mitzvah directed specifically at that point to Moshe and Aaron, to the Beis Din. The first mitzvah that collectively the Jewish people got, he explains, was the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And there's something very fascinating about the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. It's a mitzvah al kol yachid v'yachid, on every individual to bring a Korban Pesach, and yet it has a communal aspect that people ate it in a group together, and that you could have a number of people, right, shlucho shel adam kamoso, that someone can bring the Korban in for you. That aspect, the duality of the individual and the collective, was the first mitzvah that Klal Yisrael got, which really represents the aspect that Hashem is sanctifying both the individual as well as the collective. And that is why it's fascinating by the Korban Pesach. We know that generally a Korban Yochi, an individual Korban, is not Docha Shabbos. They brought the Korban Tami, the communal sacrifice on Shabbos, but you didn't bring a Korban Yochi, like a Shlomi or a Korban Toda. Korban Pesach you could bring on Shabbos. It is Docha Shabbos, because albeit it's an individual Korban, it has that collective aspect to it as well. That was, so to speak, the initiation rite of Klal Yisrael into becoming this nation. And he goes on to explain in source number 5, Zot va'od, im nasim lev nafchin ki talich yitzirat am Yisrael kashur bad bevad im sivuya b'mitzvot. Our becoming a nation is really linked to the mitzvah observance. While, and he compares it to the regular nations of the world. First you have a group of people that come together, and they live together, and they say, you know, we live together, we need to have the Declaration of Independence, and we need to have bylaws, and we need to have legislation. By Klal Yisrael, it didn't work that way. By Klal Yisrael, Hashem gave us the Torah even before we had a land. Even before we were, you know, connected as a people together. This is Torah, is the bedrock of what Am Yisrael is about. It's the bedrock of what Torah is about. And hence we understand that when the final moment of birth was really Kriyas Yam Suf, the first thing you find right after Kriyas Yam Suf is Mara. Sham Sam Lo Koku Mishpah V'Sham Nisahu. That's when we began to get more mitzvos. The nationhood is very much connected with commandments, with mitzvos. Now, when we take a look at the moment the Jewish people left Egypt in Source 6, Yitziat Mitzrayim haita ba'ofen bilti tavi l'chaluti. Okay, we have a command. Klal Yisrael are involved in Korban Pesach. When do we actually begin the leaving process? And he says the whole aspect of leaving Yitziat Mitzrayim was ba'ofen bilti tivi l'chalutin, was nothing natural about it at all. Am Yisrael at that time were around 2 million people. They were scattered all around Eretz Goshen. Suddenly to be found together, like gathering all these people together, and Chazal described that we were taken al kanfei nisharim, literally on the wings of eagle, that we landed up in Ramses that very few moments later. Ukishem shi yitziyah Mitzrayim haita hambeirut shelo al pi hateva, came laid on Am Yisrael. This is above the natural order that we can all gather together and all be found in a different place within moments. This was nothing natural. It was above time. It was above place. It was the formation of Klal Yisrael was on the supernatural level. And indeed, Rabbi Tatz points this out in source number 8 in Living Inspired. He said, the problem of wartime in Egypt would not have been the contaminating effects of Egyptian impurity. That danger long ceased. No, the problem with wartime in Egypt would have been time itself. The redemption had occurred but keheref ayin, in the blink of an eye, because that alacrity is necessary for an event to remain spiritual. Had we left Egypt slowly, naturally, in a relaxed fashion, we would have been a natural people. The Jewish nation was being born from the moment of birth, had to be transcendent, because everything goes after the beginning. We became and remain a spiritual people because our beginning was spiritual. Our moment of formation occupied the absolute minimum of time, and since then we have lived on the edge of physical universe, at the edge, which interfaces with the transcendent, the divine. And that's what we have to understand about the Jewish people. The godless, the greatness of this moment of birth is really the moment of transcendence. It's above time. It's above place. It goes above and beyond the natural order. That is the formation, and that's really the calling of the Jewish nation Ad Hayom Hazeh. And that's why we are an eternal nation, because there is nothing natural about us. So if we understand that the Ribbono Shel Olam created us, we were born as a nation in a transcendent way, in almost a supernatural way, because that's going to define who Am Yisrael is. We can appreciate the Isser of Chametz on this level. Source number 7. Al Inyan Amahirus back in the Sifrei Chaim, Val Tivit, the Al Tivit, Shebegulat Yisrael Mitzrayim, the Maharal explains that this is found in the Pasuk of Ki bechozek yad, with a strong hand, hotziyanu mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Egypt. And the end of the pasuk is Ki bechozek yad, hotzi Hashem etchem mizeh, velo yochal chametz. And you're not allowed to eat chametz. Why? Ki chametz naseh bezman ikuv. Chametz happens in prolonged, protracted time. Chozek yad, strength, is something that's found quickly. Says the Maharal, aval chozek ma shenasa belizman, in the double underline. Something that's strong is not bound by time. Umipnei shehotzi otam bechozek, and because he took us out quickly, we remember this moment of birth, this quick moment, by not eating something that takes a protracted amount of time. Chametz in the squiggly, he hefech shoch, Chizuk umehiros, hefech shapulam pit omi chazaka. That suddenness, that's the exact antithesis of what chametz is about, that allows the leavening process to happen over time. Therefore, in the asterisk, l'ficha sivalem lachol matzah. That's why we're told to eat matzah at the night that we became this nation that Hashem created, bechozek, with this strength, with this quickness, in order to remind ourselves of the chipazon, of the quickness that Hashem took us out of Egypt. Hachipazon, this is the indication of the transcendent aspect of Klal Yisrael. And it's interesting, Rabbi Tatz, continuing in source 9, says, what is the difference between chametz and matzah? Only time, not a difference in ingredients, only in a difference of time. That is the aspect of Klal Yisrael. We are above time. We are a transcendent nation. We were created, joined together very quickly. We were taken out very quickly, that we landed in Ramses within the 18 minutes to make matzahs. And there's a gewaltig Targum Yerushalmi. The Targum Yerushalmi says it was even greater, that it was Me'al TV. It was the supernatural in time and in place. Let's take a look at the English. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, source number 11, describes a fascinating historical episode. The pasuk says, "Ve'etza etchem al kanfei nisharim," and I carried you on wings of eagle. Rav Wolfson brings this down. The Targum Yonasan explains there was a problem in Mitzrayim at the time of Korban Pesach. Korbanos must be consumed, 11b, only in Yushalayim. Therefore, Klal Yisrael was not permitted to eat it where they were, in Mitzrayim. Hashem performed a miracle and transported them to Yushalayim with the Ananei HaKavod. There they ate the Korban Pesach with the matzah, and afterward the Ananei HaKavod carried them back to Mitzrayim. Wow. So not only going back to the Dad in Source 10, Chidush Gadol Nitchadesh Kam B'Divrei Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. We have a tremendous Chiddush here. B'nei Yisrael lo asu Pesach Mitzrayim Ish B'Veita. We didn't do it in our house. We did Pesach Mitzrayim in the Beis HaMikdash. This is where we were taking our Kafei Nisharim on this night. Why was this miracle happening, aside from the technical aspect of where you need to eat the Korban? This is the way that Hashem showed that his relationship with Klal Yisrael, he lo rak lamala mahateva. It's not just above the natural order. Elagam lamala mahazman ulamala mahamakom. It's above time and place that we could be transported to Yerushalayim, to the Har Moriah, and back the same night. This is transcendence. This is what the night of Yetziyah Mitzrayim is about. This is characterizing the birth of Klal Yisrael. The night of Pesach is a night that we have to go back to our origin as being created as a nation. And the night of Seder, we have to remind ourselves that Hashem created us. Hashem took us out. This moment of birth is a moment of transcendence. That's why we can understand. V'hisha amda lanu levaseinu shvachol dor v'dor. Omdim alenu l'chaloseinu. V'karish baruch hu matzilenu mi'adam. Hashem will always save us because we're not a natural nation. Nothing that happens happens on a natural way. That is one of the messages of the Seder night. One of the messages of Emunah that we have to bring to the fore as we sit at the Seder table. We will mention in 11b, Rav Wolfson says in the bottom two double squigglies, now whatever occurred on a Yontif the first time repeats itself every year. This means that every Pesach, when we eat matzah at the Seder, a piece of our soul is transported to Yerushalayim, and we eat the matzah at Har Habayit, Ad HaYom HaZeh, wherever we are. We could even be in Yerushalayim. We're transported to the Har Habayit, and we eat our matzah there. We may not be aware of it, but our neshamas can feel it. We should keep this in mind and realize what a momentous event is happening. We're going to Yerushalayim. Therefore, one can understand the halachmanya. It's the same matzah. And l'shana haba, this year that is coming tonight, when we'll soon eat the matzah of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to Yerushalayim in Eretz Yisrael tonight. Tonight, we are experiencing this level of transcendence. We're reliving the experience of birth. We're going back to that point of formation, where there's no such thing as time or place. We live above that plane. And indeed, my friends, we know that this is the characteristic of what Klal Yisrael is about from the moment of the first child born to Avram Avinu and Sarah Imenu, the first real child of a Jewish child. We say in the Haggadah, in source number 14, we go back, going over history, we speak about that Hashem, then I took your father Avram from beyond the river, and I led him through all the land of Canaan and the arrow. Varben Zaro, I multiplied his offering, the soul comes from Sefer Yoshua, and gave him Yitzchak. Vetenlo et Yitzchak. And gave Yitzchak, Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov I gave Mount Seir, Esav I gave Mount Seir, and Yaakov, one of Yardim Trim, went down to Egypt. Yaakov and his children. So, okay, that's Jewish history. Pause at this moment and be able to take in that famous idea of Rav Hirsch. Vetenlo et Yitzchak. And I gave him, Avraham Avinu, Sarah Imenu, I gave him Yitzchak. What an interesting name right? Yitzchak is the name that the Rebbeinu Shlomo chose for this child. What's the significance of this? So Rav Hirsch points out, in any case, tzchok is triggered only by noticing something ridiculous or absurd, right? You see somebody, you know, slip on a banana peel. It's not funny, but the ridiculousness of it makes the person laugh. And there can be no greater absurdity than the expectation now held by Avraham. Avraham, you know, 100 years old. Sarah Imenu, 90 years old. They had no children by Sarah. It's practically the end of their lives. And the birth of this child would be totally unexpected. Yet the prospects of a great nation destined to prevail over the entire world, the hopes of all of mankind are to rest on this late-born orphan youth. If we consider only the natural course of things, this expectation seems totally absurd, like mountains hanging by a hair. Indeed, it was a great absurdity, and even Avravino, by throwing himself down his face, already expressed his confidence, could not help but laugh. But the beginning of the Jewish people was absurd. To the rational mind, which calculates only on the basis of cause and effect, continues Rav Hirsch, this people's history, expectations, hope, and life appear as a monstrous, ludicrous pretension. Jewish history begins to make sense, indeed, and deserves to be studied with utmost seriousness only if one evaluates it on the basis of the higher causality of the cause of all causes. If one believes in the free, omnipotent will of the free God who acts freely and intervenes powerfully in the affairs of this world, it was imperative that our ancestors know this from the beginning and that their descendants always remember this. That is why Hashem waited until the nation's patriarch and matriarch reached an absurd age. That is why he began to fulfill his promises only after all human hope was lost. He wished to create for himself a nation that would be a finger of God, an indication of God in the midst of mankind from the beginning to the end of its existence. This nation would stand opposed to all forces operating in world history. Until this very day, the Jewish people is considered an utter absurdity in the eyes of God-denying fools. The laughter that follows the Jew on his way through history testifies to the divine character of his path. The laughter does not disturb him, because he is prepared for this laughter in advance. V'teinu et Yitzchak. It reminds us we're transcendent. We're above time. We're above place. We don't fit into the natural mold. And all of this started at the moment of birth. All of this is coming from the core. It's the way the Jewish people were born. Suddenly taken out of Egypt with nothing on their backs, suddenly transported to Yerushalayim, to Ramses, and they're given mitzvos, they're suddenly made into a nation, and not in a normal, logical, progressional order. That's the nature of Klal Yisrael, above time. We'll just add on this level before seeing how this then impacts us in our lives. The Acharecha Narutza, the two next levels. With my friends, this way that we left Egypt, Ki made Seitcha marriage Yitzrayim, Erenu, and flows, is what's going to happen in the future. We know, the Gemara tells us that Mashiach is also going to come in the same way, supernatural, above time, without expectation. He brings here Elohim Oadai, Rav Schlesinger, brings here from the Admor Mitzanz, who heard it from his father, from the Rupshitzer Rebbe. This imagery, let's listen to it. It's so delicious. Kishemashiach yavo yeshevachen vani b'chanuto liyad argazei mitzrachav. The shopkeeper is going to be sitting by his wares. The sandlar, the shoemaker, is going to be banging on his shoes. The tailor is going to be with his scissors and needles. Everyone's going to be involved in their malachu. Pitom yarutsu yudim v'ichnasu aleihem levasram. And suddenly people are going to come in and say, Haim lo shamatim shemashiach ba? Have you not heard? Put down your wares. Mashiach is here. And this is what the Navi Malachi, the last nevuah for all time. Malachi perikim al pasuk aleph. Upitom yavo el hechalo hadon asher atem mevakshim. Mashiach is going to come suddenly. We were born in a supernatural way, and we will be given birth. I don't know if that's right English. we will be brought to the next stage of Yemos HaMashiach in a similar birth fashion of above time, above place, without any forewarning. Okay, my friends, so now we have level number one. Hashem created us transcendent, above time and place. That's how we were formed as a nation. Therefore, we don't eat chametz, because chametz is about time. It's about protracted effort. And everything about the Jewish people, everything about the birth of the Jewish people, starting from the birth of Yitzchak Avinu, is about above time, above place, suddenly coming. Our response. So, Rav Pinkas Hatzal, in his Sichos on Pesach, notes the following. He says in Source 16, Yesod Inyan Chaga Pesach Yait Chachos. The whole nature of Pesach is about renewal. And this is really twice a year we have this renewal. We have it in Nisan and we have it in Tishrei. Nisan is called the Rosh Chodashim. Rishonu Lachem L'Chodshei Shana. It's the first of the month. Hayom Atem Yotzim B'Chodesh Aviv. We are taken out in the month of Aviv. Aviv is springtime. Springtime is birth. Springtime is newness. And he goes on to explain, we're now on the next page, Source 17, HaMashal HaMufla L'inyan Otai Tchatshut Hileidat Tinok. And the best way to really understand this is the birth of a baby. Kla Yisrael v'yotam shuim b'mem tet sharei tuma shamitzrayim higil l'matzav shkiv yacholi batlu l'chalutim meyo la'am. Being in Egypt, we lost that real, that aspect of being a nation. You're right. There were sort of things, the Sfarim say, that we kept, our names, our language, v'chule, our dress, but it was still subsumed in the culture of Egypt. We lost that sense of really being a nation on our own. Rav Pinkas then describes, what does it mean to be a nation? What does it mean to be a nation of Hashem? So he describes in 18 that Hadam mechulak l'shnei chalakim ikarim. We really have two parts to us, our head and our body. Ikara Adam Matzmuto Kayam Dafka Baguf. Most of us interact in this world in our body, Barkashad Aleif, with our feelings, Velo Barosh. Harosh Hino Mitavech Kivyachol Ben Shamayim Laretz. The head is like the one that connects between heaven and earth. Be'efshiruto Litvos Dvarim Elokayim Irumamim. You're able to take these spiritual, godly things and be able to bring it down into our world. And that's really our job. Our job is to be able to take the godly knowledge that we know and allow it to impact into our actions. And therefore, Ikar in 18b, Tafkid Hadam Bolamohi Efo Lidog Shekol Otam Dvarim Romim Sharosh Tofes Yevru L'Toch HaGuf. The goal of people, the goal of being a Jewish nation is to take that which we know spiritually and make it into something practically within our lives. If we take a look at the human body, that part of us, again symbolic and we'll explain, that is the medium that transfers from the head to the body, that's the neck. The neck is a place of connection. And this is why it's interesting that the neck is the narrow place, because it, what is filtered comes down, and it also is a place that's easily blocked because it's narrow and a lot of things aren't able to get in. And the neck is also, we know, on a biological level, the Makura Chayus, right? If you want to, lo aleinu, not suggesting this, right? Kill a person, the best, again, not suggesting it, ways are through strangulation, right? The hanging of a person, it's about shechting. When you shecht an animal, it's cutting it by the neck, because the neck is the makor achios. It is the source of life. And therefore, he says, in 19, we understand that Mitzrayim is about the Mitzar, the narrowness. Mitzrayim is symbolically the neck. Mitzrayim is about blocking this knowledge and allowing it to affect us. This is why Mitzrayim, which is the Yetzer Hara, is about working so hard that you have no time to think. Right? That was one of the tactics of Paro. Just work, work, work. If you work, you can't think. Thinking is about bringing that higher knowledge and allowing it to impact into our lives. Why am I working? What is it for? All of that contemplation and process is blocking the head from being able to impact the body. What is redemption? Redemption is being able to link again the head and the heart together to be able to become a free nation. And that's why it's not by accident that the way the Zohar Kadosh and the Sfarim talk about that in Egypt, Kla Yisrael, the Dibur was Megalos, the speech was in exile. They could scream out, Nakasa. They screamed out, Vayitzak. It was a scream without words because they couldn't possibly speak because the head and the heart and the body were disconnected and the vocal cords were not there. They didn't have that ability to connect, which is what speech is, the ability to articulate what you're thinking from the heart into words. This explains in World's Mask in 21, in the physical structure of the body, there's a manifestation of the idea of connection, which is inherent in the power of speech. It's no accident that voice is produced in the neck. Voice is the root of speech, the power of connecting worlds. The neck is that part of the human form, which connects head and body, the higher and lower domains, and the body always reflects its spiritual roots. And he goes on to explain that the front of the neck contains the organ of voice production. The back of the neck is silent. In fact, the deeper wisdom teaches that the front of the neck or throat is identified with Moshe Rabbeinu. After all, Moshe is the voice of Torah. Hashem speaks through Moshe's throat. The divine presence speaks from Moshe's throat. The same sources state that Moshe's archenemy, Paro, is represented by the back of the neck. He is the one who strives for the opposite of that which Moshe Rabbeinu wishes to achieve. Paro's goal is to keep the divine voice out of the world, to silence the voice of the spiritual. Moshe Rabbeinu's task is to achieve connection, the ultimate connection of spiritual and physical worlds. Paro's work is to separate those worlds, archenemies indeed, and the letters of the word Paro, when reversed, spell Ha'oref, the back of the neck. This is the moment of birth on level number two. Level number one is transcendence. Level number two, it's the moment when the head and the heart are able to connect and we're able to have speech and we're able to have that relationship with Hashem, bringing the spiritual into the physical. That is the moment of redemption. Yitzhi Mitzrayim 22, Aitav of Chinat Leida. Yitzhi Mitzrayim, continues Rav Pinkus Hatzal, is birth. Kol Eitchatshut v'chol Yitzirat Davar Chadash Tomenet B'chovah Sakana Nora'ah. The moment of birth is always fraught with tremendous amount of danger, and this is when, you know, many things could happen, and one has to be so careful at the moment of birth. That's why everything around birth has to be sterile, because a small little chaydak, a small little microbe that's not good for the baby, could lo aleinu have serious effects. And that's why Kadesha Tino Getse Lavir Lo Olam in 23, Kushu Bariva Shalem Nidrashim Yisim Dolimaot. Miracles happen at the moment of birth. This is the key moment in a child's life. Shibashah Leidan Yiftach Piv Shel Tino Kshayat Satum B'meshach Chodashim Arukim. The child's mouth is suddenly open, which was closed during this whole time. Yitzhi Mitzrayim was taking us out of the 49 levels of Tumah to become the nation of Hashem, that we should be able to open our mouth. The first place we went to as a free nation is Pi HaChirot, the mouth of freedom. To be able to open our mouth, to be able to have the connection between body and soul, to be able to have the spirituality which is found in speech, was fraught with a tremendous amount of danger. B'leil Pesach and the asterisks in 23, Am Yisrael zachu l'aliyah atzuma. We came to a very high level. Hein zachu l'gilu ishchina. Hashem brought them to the level of revelation of godliness. Hamshachah sharachamim atzumim. Tremendous amount of kindness. כדי להפקיע את החיסרון שהיה בהם הייתה זו יציאה בחיפזון. And that moment of greatness, that moment of godliness, that moment of birth took place with tremendous haste. Because you are afraid that that narrow will become closed again. That the Nekudas HaChaim will become closed. And therefore it had to be born, enabling them to become a free nation. And that is, symbolically, says the Rav Pinkas Zatzal in 24 and 25, the secret of Chametz. Chametz represents this aspect of Paro, where I take up all the space. Paro, the back of the neck, Paro blocking the neck. When a person says, or when a person's mindset is, Kochi Votzim Yodi, Li Yori Vani Asitinu, I am the Nile, I made it. Chametz, inflated ego, is what blocks the head and the body from coming together. The inflated ego is about me. The head isn't there. That spiritual part of connecting to something much greater than myself, it's blocked. The getting rid of the chametz is working on getting rid of the blockages between the head and the heart, enabling the head and the spiritual parts of us to be able to infuse the physical parts of us and get rid of all of those blockages, enabling that smooth connection between head and heart, so that the night of Seder can be the night of Sipur, Yitzhiyat Mitzrayim, telling the story, Vihigada Televincha. It's a night of speech, it's a night of song. The very Sefer we read from is called a Haggadah, that which is about speaking, about teaching, about transmitting, because it's a night about the head and the heart being connected together. The prerequisite to walk into Seder night, we have to prepare ourselves for this moment of birth, because every year we are being, don't really want to say born again, but we're being born again, is we have to prepare ourselves not only to clean out the chametz in the nooks and crannies of our house physically, we have to work on taking out the nooks and crannies within ourselves, within our attitude. And we've spoken about this many times. The idea of Rav Gamliel Rabinowitz, where it says when a person, you know, talks to a friend and says, you know, I cleaned already 14 rooms. I don't place. You know, I cleaned 100 drawers. I, and bragging. That's not cleaning chametz at all. That's just adding more chametz into your life. It's about recognizing the humility, the matzah. That's what the work of Pesach is all about. And no, he says in 26, Ulam aleinu ladad in the asterisk, ki kol Yehudi nolad mechadash. All of us are having a rebirth experience where our heads and our hearts are reconnected every year on Lel HaSeder, just like it happened to Klal Yisrael. Umekabel kochot chadashim hayotzim min hakoach alapol b'meshach hashana haba aleinu letofa. And it's going to impact us for the entire year. And this is what we've spoken about many times. In source 27, the Nesiva Shalom and Shlomo Rebbe Zatzal, the Chag HaPesach is Yisodo Emunah. The whole night of Pesach is about Emunah. This is the Rosh Hashanah of Emunah. This is the battle between Paro, who says, who is God that I should believe him? Lo yadati et Hashem. I don't know who Hashem is. Vis-a-vis Klal Yisrael, who are able to point. And Zekeh Livaveu, this is Pesach. Pesach is about Emunah. Culmination is on Kriyas Yamsuf. And 28, Ve'eyod v'inyan chag ha-Pesach chiyamuna im kein ikar mitzvah flol ha-Pesach hi mitzvah tzipur yitzeh ha-Mitzrayim v'chein ibegad til ha-Vincha shi'inyano ha-Shrashas ha-Amuna. The goal of the Seder night is Emuna. The goal of the Seder night is connecting head and heart. As we know, Emuna isn't belief. We all believe. We're all ma'mini b'nei ma'mini. Emuna means faithfulness. Am I living up to what I know? Is my body and my head connected together? I know a lot. Am I acting this way? Right? Esav's head was also very marsvapela. It was a very, you know, holy head. But it didn't impact his body. Seder night is about linking the head and the heart together. It's about living Yiddishkeit. It's about, and that's why he says, the more you speak, the better off, the more praiseworthy you are. It's not speaking about halachmanya kehalachmanya, we began with Rav Wolbe. It's not all these diyukim in the text of the Haggadah. It's about speaking about Amuna. It's speaking about what Hashem has done for us. It's making the reality of the Ashgacha Pratit, of the Divine Providence, of how close the Kodesh Baruch Hu is with us, making it into reality, connecting with that aspect. The night of Pesach is a night of rebirth for all of us, where we once again have to remind ourselves that we were born tonight as a nation that's beginning to connect head and heart. And it was a process, yeah? But this is where it was going on. And therefore, you can't eat chametz. Chametz represents that Yetzirah. Chametz represents that inflated ego. It represents the paro, the back of the neck. It's the breaking of the head and heart combination together. And that, my friends, is what we have to work on. It's very fascinating that, again, in why we celebrate, he brings down in 30, Emunah is the Hakdama, the prerequisite for the mitzvot. It's like Avraham Avinu, who was Hakdama, the beginning of Klal Yisrael. Similarly, Pesach, like Avraham Avinu, is the very beginning. Pesach is the time during which we attach ourselves with Emunah to Hashem. We can now understand why of the three Amin Tovim, only regarding Pesach, do we find the punishment of Kareth, where one sin causes him to be cut off from Hashem. That's what it is. You've lost that connection between your head and your heart, literally cut off. Pesach, if one chalila eats chametz, he receives karetz. It's because Pesach attaches us to Hashem with emunah. And one who violates Pesach is disconnected from him. As the Ramban explains, through the punishment for violating the mitzvah, we see how vital the mitzvah actually is. These mitzvahs, with especially harsh punishments for one who violates them, binds us to Ribbono Shel Olam much more than any other mitzvahs. And he notes that the literal translation of the word matzah is to open. Targum Unkelitz translates matzah as patir, which means to open, like in Petarechem, the opening of the womb. Matzah is the key, since Pesach is a time of Amunah. Eating matzah on Pesach is the key that opens our heart to absorb it. And we'll add here parenthetically before we just discuss this for a moment. This is one of the reasons that we bake the first challahs for Shabbos after Pesach. There's a minute in Klal Yisrael to puncture the challahs with a key, as if to say, now that we don't have matzah anymore, we will use another key. Matzah is the moment of connection. Matzah is that humility of Hashem, I'm in your hands. Hashem, you are the one that directs me. As we've spoken about many times, we have to become a matzah. We have to, when we eat the matzah, just give ourselves over to Ribbono Shel Olam. Matzah, we know, is called the Michla Demnusa, the bread of Emunah. That's Rav Pinkus points out in 29, Shach Achilato Machnisa Belev Adam et Emunah. Eating the matzah brings Emunah into your heart. The matzah is a food that enables a person to feel this level of connection between head and heart together. We could add that we have been speaking about in the past, that there are different times in the Seder night to David. We've spoken about this many years. One of the times to David is after eating matzah. And now, based on what we're saying, it makes so much sense. After I finish eating the matzah, lechem oni, lechem shonim alad varim harbe. We say a lot of words on it, which is technically the Haggadah. But it's also lechem oni that I'm awesome, saying a lot of words that Hashem will be nana. All the tefillos that didn't go up all year go up in the achilas matzah. They have that ability just to fly through the air. Because when I eat the matzah, I'm connecting the head and the heart. And when I connect the head and the heart, I'm allowing that dibur, I'm allowing those vocal cords to come out. That's the birth of Klal Yisrael, that the dibur was taken out of galus. And now is the time where I can daven, where I can connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, dafka and achilas matzah. So my friends, let's take a look at the first two ideas that we've seen, and then we'll end with the third level, which has two parts to it. Absolutely stupendous. Level number one, the night of Seder, from the Ribbono Shel Olam's point of view, kivyachol, is the night of transcendence. He took us out, not in normal time span, not in normal place. having us fly all over the place. We are above time. We're above nature. We are transcendent. What represents this transcendence is matzah. It's above time. Chametz is that long, drawn-out, yeast-fermenting experience. We have to recognize that we are on the cutting edge. That's what Klal Yisrael is about, and that's why Klal Yisrael is here on Hayom HaZeh, and that's what we have to remember on the Seder night, that we're not a normal people. And when we're celebrating, really it's a celebration of Jewish identity, we have to recognize that we celebrate this Jewish identity because we are an eternal nation, and that pride has to stay with us and recognize that in eating matzah on the first level, our part of our souls being transported to the Har Moriah, we are living that aspect of transcendence. The second level, the whole idea of matzah is emunah. The whole problem of the Jewish people being galus is the head and the heart are not connected. Galus is that we're unable to serve Hashem in the way we would like to. The galus and geula are the same letters. Gimel lama, the difference is geula is an aleph. The alufo shalolo, the divine presence is found. We're missing that divine presence. When we're in galus, there is that break between the head and the heart, which is found in the neck. The neck is the place of the makor achius, the place of our existence. Para represents ha'orof, the back of the neck, the silent part. He wants to break those two. Moshe Rabbeinu, the front of the neck, the level of connection. The night of Pesach is a night of taking away before you get into Pesach Chametz. Take away that ego, take away that inflated sense of self, and be able to have room for the head to be able to impact the heart. When eating matzah, we are allowing that flow of emunah to come into us, and therefore after matzah, we're able to have challah and hodayah. We're able to sing the end of the Seder. Nishmas is singing that hodayah to Hashem, being able to have the fullness of the voice. Our final level, two parts. Rabbi Gladstein in his Haggadah, it's also in Magid HaRakia, points out, based on Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Haver, a fascinating insight into this idea. Klal Yisrael stay in Mitzrayim was analogous to gestation. An incubation period is the Jewish people, the fetus were developing and waiting to emerge as a nation. Egypt was incubating, so to speak, the Jewish people. You'd see it in Mitzrayim, the exit from Egypt served as the later the birth of the Jewish nation. Just as the world is reborn in the springtime, so too Klal Yisrael was born, and again reborn during Yitzhak Mitzrayim. So first of all, why was it necessary to be in Mitzrayim? So Mitzrayim, we know, was the epitome of depravity. And we know that Mitzrayim was chosen because the period of time that Klal Yisrael spent there was an incubation period of the Jewish people. And for an embryo to develop properly, it requires a dark, cramped place. That is Mitzrayim. Dark, cramped, Mitzrayim, Mitzrayim. This is the place Hashem chose. And he explains that the period of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim can be divided into three distinct periods. The first is when Yaakov came down and the Jewish people were not yet enslaved. Moving to the next page, source number 35. The second period commenced after the demise of Levi, the last of Sfatim. Paro began to put the Jewish people to work, ultimately enslaving them, as Hashem told Avraham Avinu Vavadum. And the third period was when Miriam was born, 86 years of hard labor, the harshness of the bondage. And he says that this really parallels the three trimesters of gestation. During the first trimester, developing baby is completely hidden from the outside world. The fetus is not recognizable. Yaakov and his sons were treated royally, thus their future bondage was unforeseen. During the second trimester, the woman's condition begins to be noticeable. It's obvious that there's a baby on the way. Similarly, they began to work. Finally, during the third trimester, the baby grows larger, the time of delivery nears, and the labor is due to commence. The labor pains are an indication that the birth of the child is imminent. So too, the third trimester for Klal Yisrael began with the birth of Miriam. That is when the bondage and slavery intensified. The harsher conditions became for Klal Yisrael, the more the Egyptians thought that Bnei Yisrael would remain slaves forever. Well, in fact, the opposite was true. The bondage became more difficult, the slavery intensified, the intensified slavery expedited the exodus, bringing the Jewish people closer to leaving Egypt, and thus closer to the birth as a nation. We should just keep this in mind. that when things get harder, that's not a sign of bad necessarily. When things get harder, we know that that's a sign of transition, that we're moving into labor. And that's what we have to keep in mind. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Someone recently told me the epidural for natural birth is emunah. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver writes that the 210 years in Egypt was the Ebor period of gestation of the Jewish people. The labor and delivery of the Jewish people began on the night of Pesach when Hashem smote the firstborn and lasted until the seventh day of Pesach, at Kriyas Yamsuf. Don't know if I want to tell expected Monday, 7 days of labor, but okay, be that as it may. This also explains, says Rav Yitzchak Kaiser Isaac Chaver in 37, Ani v'lo malach, ani v'lo saraf, why did Hashem have to take them out and not an angel to an emissary? And we know that there are three keys that Hashem has never given over to any emissaries. The key of rain, the key of resurrection, and the key of childbirth. Therefore, this was a task for the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. It was not a function that could be performed by an angel, because this is the moment of birth. And therefore, he says, this also explains the prohibition of chametz, why it's so stringent. 38, let's learn together. Chametz and matzah are two words essentially composed of the same letters. They each have a mem, and they each have a tzadik. The only difference is that chametz has a chet, while matzah has a hey. The difference between a chet and a hey is a small opening at the left side. Until we left Mitzrayim was closed, symbolized by the ches, which is closed. Yitzhak Mitzrayim was the leida, and the opening of the hay represents the petach haleida, that opening that enabled, the birth of Jewish people. That is why in Pesach we cannot eat any chametz. We eat matzah to signify that this is our time of leida, our time of opening. We have to be extremely careful and watchful to distance ourselves from even the most minute amount of chametz to ensure that the opening of the hay of the matzah will allow for our exit from Egypt. This is critical to Klai Yisrael's ability to leave the womb of Mitzrayim and be released from freedom. We therefore must distance ourselves from chametz in a manner that is unheard of regarding other prohibited food. Chametz symbolizes a sealed womb from which we cannot escape. We take every possible precaution to avoid being trapped inside the spiritual womb of Mitzrayim. Just to add two more ideas, he again speaks about that one of the things in 36 in the Magida Rakia of Gladstein, that the one of the things that happens when a child is born is that their mouth becomes open. And this is the name of the holiday, Pesach, the mouth that speaks. And this is what it's about. That when we left, keep bo bayom nolanu, when we were in Golos, as we mentioned, our mouths were shut. That the freedom is about opening the mouth. It's that imagery of the child. The first thing the child does when it's born is it cries. Right? That ability to speak is a sign of life. It's a sign of the Jewish people. The night of Pesach. It's the late of Klai Yisrael. This is the time Jewish people were born as a nation. We have 12 mitzvot to actively perform on Seder night, together with all the mitzvot that we execute with Dibur, with our speech. We have a total of 64 mitzvot, even more meritorious practices that are part of the Seder protocol. This is more than any other time of the year. These mitzvot are critical, because this is one of the most fragile. This is when our spiritual lives are beginning. These are the mitzvot that give us the koach to prevail throughout our entire spiritual lives. Let's take this idea one step further. If we understand on the first level is transcendence, on the second level it's the ability for Klai Yisrael to have this emunah, to have this relationship with Hashem, to clear away all blockages. On the third level we understand that this was a gestation period where we're mamish being born here, like you mamish see the parallel between birth and Yetziat Mitzrayim. The moment of Yetziat Mitzrayim is the moment of birth. It's the moment of leaving. You need to have the matzah, the opening, and the hay. You can't have the closed chet. We have to get out of. The womb. With this in mind, my friends, we can appreciate the mindset we should have at the moment of eating matzah, the moment of birth. That's what Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver is talking about. We have to imagine that we're being born right now, like literally, like this little baby being born. And if we can understand that this moment of birth is the moment of intense love that the parents have for the child. We can appreciate my soul desire. Rav Kluger will end with these ideas. This is the kind of love Hashem showed us in Yetziat Mitzrayim. Hashem called us, you saw my firstborn son. You are the young child who is born to me, and I love you beyond reason simply because you are my child. Shiras Hazinu describes this. He discovered them in a desert land. He encircled them. He granted them discernment. He protected them like the pupil of his eye. He surrounded them with clouds of glory, enveloped them, watched over them, sold them to all their needs, like an eagle rousing its nest, hovering over its young. Hashem treated us with compassion. Hashem is gentle with us. The eagle carries its young. So too Hashem protected us from our enemies. Later on Maman Har Sinai, Hashem gave us the Torah. But on Pesach, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, Hashem revealed his unconditional love for us. That was when he loved us for no reason other than because we are his children. David HaMelech says in Tehillim 2:7, I will tell of the decree Hashem said to me, you are my son, I have begotten you this day. I will constantly relate the words engraved in the Torah that Hashem said to me and to every Jew, you are my son, I have begotten you this day. You are as dear to me as a child is to the father on his day of birth. Yisrael, my firstborn son, Hashem's love for Jewish people is a decree, an established fact. There's no explanation. So what we need to feel on Seder night is this feeling of tremendous love that Hashem has for us. That love of the newborn child. Unconditional love. Just giving, overflowing love. That's what has to come through to us on the night of Seder. It's a night of tremendous love. This is the love we feel on Pesach. Hashem took us to be his people. We are his children. You chose us from among all the nations. You loved us, took pleasure in us. Hashem loves each and every one of us a deep and infinite love like a young baby just born to him. Now we can appreciate, my friends. This is it. This is the highlight of the Shiur 41. Why do we eat matzah? Because their dough did not have a chance to rise. And we describe Klal Yisrael as you're following me into the wilderness, into an unsown land, the Eretz Lo Zrua. They trusted in the bracket of 41, Hashem implicitly following him without knowing what the future would bring. All they took along was a bit of dough. Like a child walking calmly with his father and mother, secure in the knowledge that his parents are taking care of all his needs. The asterisk of 41, my friends, listened closely, this is it. This is the flavor that we taste when we eat matzahs on Seder night. The sense of total reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a nursing baby secure in his mother's embrace. The baby is not concerned about his future welfare. He doesn't know where his next meal is coming from. He understands nothing, but he has a devoted mother who sees all of his needs, and he is serene and relaxed. When we eat the matzah, we savor the taste of that emunah, the knowledge that there is someone who loves us and cares for us, that we have whom to rely on. Hashem feeds and sustains us, and we have nothing to worry about. My friends, every year, and particularly this year, we have to close our eyes and imagine this feeling. We all have seen little babies being cuddled by their parents, being nursed by their parents, by their mother, that complete reliance and that sense of trust and that feeling of I'm being taken care of and all my needs are being taken care of. That's the matzah. The matzah tastes like that nursing baby being fed for the first time. I have someone who's holding me. I have someone who's taking care of me. My needs are being met. And the love is an overflowing love. We sense not only the taste of the food, but also the giver, Hashem, who has provided us with the food and loves us so much. This is a time to sense how Hashem is concerned for us, constantly bestows his gifts upon us. This is matzati chen b'midbar, matzah chen b'midbar, chen, favor, unconditional love, chinam. I love you with eternal love. Hashem loves us with a constant, everlasting love. We tend to think that Hashem loves us only when we're doing a mitzvah. No. He loves us unconditionally. The night of Seder is to remember those periods of time in Jewish history that we read about in the Arami Oved Avik. It's really a reflection of the different parts of the gestation of Klal Yisrael. And tonight we're being born. And when we eat the matzah, after going through speaking about these different periods, we should feel as if right now we are being taken out and we are given that taste of the matzah that they had then total reliance on the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's taking care of me. He's holding me. Kigmul Olayimo. That's how we have to feel. And my friends, we'll end. The Pasuk in Tehillim 102, Kuf Beis, Pasuk 19, Yotet. Let this be recorded for the final generation so that the newborn people will praise God. Just like we were newborn at that time and it's a day, Hallel and Hodayah, so too, let it be recorded for the final generation that we too will be a newborn people. And we will be able, Lahalel Ka, to praise Hashem. May it come speedily in our days that we will physically experience that Pitom Yavole Chalo, that suddenness of being born once again as a nation, now as a nation with the ultimate freedom of Yemos HaMashiach.